appreciate Home Missionary Baptist Church and your pastor very, very much. I appreciate all the labor of love, the tremendous amount of work that's gone into this conference, like every conference. My first home conference was 1995. I can't believe it's been nearly 30 years. Hearing Brother Harvey sing the old-fashioned religion, save the old-fashioned way. Today when we sang that song, I could hardly sit still. But it is a privilege to stand before you tonight. I invite your attention to Psalm 37. I want to share my heart tonight and encourage each one of you, as the Lord has been encouraging and working on me, to delight in Him. A very simple sentence in the Word of God. I believe if this will get hold of you, it'll have a very profound impact on your life. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can be here tonight. We are so blessed. Blessed beyond measure. We ask now, Lord, in this, the last service of the day, that You would tune our hearts to hear You. That You would set me aside and use my lips to proclaim Your word. And that it, I pray, would find prepared hearts to receive it and apply it. And I pray, Lord, You'd even prepare my heart to continue to receive it and apply it. We thank You for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to think about this evening for a few moments about delight thyself in the Lord. I want to try to help you see what it will help you in and how it will help you in your life. And I want to also ponder a little bit about possibly how to work to a place where we're more and more finding delight in the Lord. We all realize that it shouldn't be difficult to delight ourselves in the Lord, but we all realize that there's so many other things that pull at us. We are wired, I believe, by nature to desire pleasure. We're wired. I mean, I don't know of anybody that said, boy, I want to be miserable today. We want to be happy and joyful. We want a level of pleasure. The problem is the flesh wants it in a sinful way. The flesh wants to revel in sin and find that pleasure in sin, and we'll look at that, Lord willing, in a little bit. But if by the grace of God we can find our delight in the Lord and find in Him the pleasure, find in a relationship with Him the pleasure, find in walking with Him the pleasure of our heart, the amazing change and transformation that will bring in your life and mine. And you'll have to be patient with me. The Lord's been beating me up pretty good today about this. Delight thyself in the Lord. Look with me in Colossians chapter 1, the way that Paul says a very similar thing, Colossians 3. The way that Paul says a very similar thing. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Amen. He's speaking with those that have been born again. If you've been risen with Christ, and he directs their attention to seek those things which are above. And he, in verse 2, says it this way, set your affection on things above. Amen. To delight ourselves in the Lord. To set your affections on things above. I thought of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I thought of Paul's description of some of his, what he calls light affliction, there in 2 Corinthians 4. And he tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, and as he references the light affliction, which is but for a moment, he references how he made it through those things. Do you recall? Hold your finger here in Colossians chapter 3 and jump back with me to 2 Corinthians 4. And look with me in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man may be renewed day by day. Amen. For our light affliction, and in Paul's case, I stand in awe of him to be able to say that. But I recognize that he is balancing what he's going through, and he went through a lot, and he balances that with, I'm going to spend eternity with my Savior. And I know that he does because of the next couple of verses. Our light affliction, my light affliction, your light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. That's part of Brother Cummins. We just look at the details. We look at the things that are seen, and not which the things. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're just temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Oh, if we could get our eyes, and because of a passionate delighting in the Lord, to get our eyes above the seen, get our eyes above the temporal, get our eyes above what's going on. Amen. Get our eyes above the temptations of the world and get our eyes fixed on Him. Amen. I'll develop this as we go through, or at least I'll attempt to, that I believe it's your responsibility and mine to whet that appetite. It's your responsibility and mine to set our affection on things above. With that, turn back to Colossians 3. It's our responsibility to get our eyes off the temporal and onto the eternal. And if you're risen from above, if you've been born again by the amazing power of God's grace, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on those things which are above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also, ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore So Paul runs right to one of the things or a category of things that has to be dealt with.
Amen.
And this is, again, part of your responsibility and mine. Set your affection on things above and kill some things that need to be killed.
Right.
Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. And the problem that you and I both realize is that there is pleasure in sin, albeit for a season. And it's very natural for you to want to live in a place that is pleasurable, live in a condition that is pleasurable. It's very natural. It's very normal. The problem is we let the flesh dictate what that pleasure is going to be far too much. We let the flesh lead us in a path of perceived pleasure. And we know from Hebrews 11 that there is pleasure in sin. Moses chose rather not to go that path, but to walk with the people of God. And that, of course, Hebrews 11:25. Pleasure in sin. Oh, but it leaves so much pain. And you know, even if it didn't, it's contrary to what God said, and it dishonors Him. Even if it didn't leave scars and pain, and it typically does, it's dishonoring to Him, the Lord who saved me. So it's not a matter of the desire for pleasure. It's a matter of how we express it. So the child of God battles sin. The child of God battles what his flesh wants to do versus what he knows he shouldn't do. And I think that's the wrong battle. If we make the battle a battle of what I want versus what I know I ought to do, we're forcing ourselves into a place of religious compliance. I think that's the wrong battle. I got this from Brother Bowen. I don't know where he got it, but I'll give him credit, especially since he's sitting right there. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. The real battle is not that I desire to have pleasure in my life. The real battle is a wrong-centered focus. And if I'm only making it against what I want versus what I know, the real battle ought to be changing what I want. The real battle ought to be making my heart's desire to be in the Lord. And He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. Psalm 37. The real battle is not a battle that's lost, won or lost because of catechism and discipleship. Those things are not bad. There's nothing wrong with those things. They're very, very helpful and tools. But you cannot religiously educate someone into right relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
It has to start in the heart. And your battle and my battle with sin has to start in the heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord. I thought a couple different ways of illustrating it. Get a young man that has gotten, he's into his teenage years, and he's maybe bought himself a pickup truck and a bass boat. He loves his Saturdays on the lake. and Dad wants him to do this, or other people want him to do that, and I want to be on the lake. I want to be fishing. Until one day, he notices this young lady. And if by the providence of God, they begin to spark and have feelings one for another, in short order, he might not care about fishing on Saturday. Especially if there's any distance between them, he wants to be where she is. And how that love for her can motivate him to do what he otherwise wouldn't have done. It's a weak illustration at best. But I'm submitting to you that a proper love for the Lord will motivate people more than any discipleship program, more than any catechism, more than any religious compliance effort, but to delight thyself in the Lord. That's where the battle has to be. How do I get there? How do I get to the place where my striving to delight myself in the Lord is all consuming? There's a couple different things in that. We've tried to deal with how delighting in the Lord will help an individual. How does one get? It's like saying you ought to love the Lord more. Obviously, one ought to love the Lord more. How? How? And I began to think about that. First of all, for some context, I want to take you to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. You probably know where I'm headed, verse 11. I'm transitioning into dealing with a little bit of how. How does one, if we recognize the need of delighting in the Lord, if we recognize the power, if you will, the things that will help you with and accomplish, if I'm truly delighting in the Lord, you see it in Paul. Delighting in the Lord. He's delighting in the Lord's will. He's delighting in the contemplation of spending eternity with Him. So that means all that I'm going through right now is just light affliction. So how? Well, Psalm 16:11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. The battle for learning how to delight in the Lord, in my estimation, starts in His presence. Starts as we become desperate connoisseurs of His book. Think of the things that we go out of our way to learn. Think of the things that we go out of our way to memorize. Think of the things that we go out of our way to study and research. Do we put that much effort into knowing the Word of God? To spending time in His presence in the pages of this book. I think of the things that I have to remember and memorize for work. And then I add to that the things that I have that I am interested in, so I research and I look for information on. And pretty soon you can consume a whole lot of information that means absolutely nothing eternally. And I've wasted all that brain energy without cracking open my Bible. But if you delight thyself in the Lord, and you want to know what His Word says, you want to be in His presence as you see Him come off the pages of His book. You want to spend time in His presence in prayer. I used to be, and I used to say it, get up in the morning and have stuff laid out like a fireman ready for a call, and fly out of the house with barely a thought of prayer time. The Lord convicted me of that, and I try to get up earlier now and get my mind squared away in the things of the Lord. One of the problems I found out is I can't get up early enough because the more I have prayer time, the more I think about stuff that I ought to be praying about. And oh, all of a sudden it's time to go to work. It's our responsibility to delight in the Lord. I've tried to demonstrate what a positive thing that is for you and me personally. And now I'm trying to consider, okay, how? In thy presence is fullness of joy, David said. The battle for time in his presence. The battle for filling my mind with the things of the Lord. My wife and I are both going through a little bit of a detox on news consumption and talk. And we don't even have television that we can watch like news constantly like some do, but even on our phones. And it's been good. You find your panic level coming down a little bit. But to fill that time, striving to delight ourselves in the Lord. Not enough to just unplug from one, but fill that void with the things of the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. A battle for time in His presence, in prayer, in Bible reading. And nowadays, the ease with which we can access good preaching. Most churches have on their websites, most sound churches have on their websites preaching that you can access.
Right.
And we're hearing more and more about the preaching that leads to some error that you need to be careful about. So if you stay on churches that have soundness and sound doctrine, you can log on to this or church website or many, many churches represented here, and you can fill your day with preaching. The thing that interests you, whatever that thing is, you spend time studying, researching, digesting information. If by the grace of God you can delight in Him and spend time researching what He says and what He teaches and how it applies to moms, dads, sons and daughters, employees, employers, church members, pastors. It's all covered in the book. Thinking on how do I delight in Him? How do I foster an environment where that will grow? I thought about the lady in Song of Solomon. And in chapter 5, she had gotten cold. And he leaves. And she begins to search. She asks the daughters of Jerusalem, "Have you seen my beloved?" And they ask the question, "What is your beloved more than any other?" And in chapter 5, about halfway through, she begins to rehearse what he is different, how he is different. And as she begins to rehearse, he is this and he is that, you can see her get to the place where in the last verse of chapter 5, she just exclaims, "He is altogether lovely. There's nothing wrong with my beloved. There's no flaw in him." And she got to that place as she began to rehearse who he is, what he is. And she came out of a place of coolness. And you and I can get to the place where we're refreshed in our thinking if we begin to ponder on Him. He created the world. He keeps it all going. He sustains it. It's functioning. I don't have to worry about it warming or cooling or whatever. Whatever it's going to do, He's in charge of it. He's altogether powerful. He's altogether in control. I don't have to worry about those things. So I can take that whole discussion and just scoot it off to the side. Because I, by the grace of God, found delight in Him and began to understand who He is. And began to ponder that and began to apply it to my own thought process. And He's altogether lovely. There's no flaw in Him. There's not one area where He's lacking. And I can delight in Him. And I'm called to, I'm responsible to, no matter my circumstances, I'm called to delight in Him. And you begin to ponder Him like she pondered her beloved. And not only did He create and sustain the entire universe, He gave me life. He gave me new life in Christ. He devised a plan wherein His Son would come to earth, God in the flesh, and He would lay down His life in my place. He devised a plan to satisfy His own justice by offering His Son for me. That's amazing. And He then is, Romans 3, both just and the justifier of them which believe. That's amazing. I can delight in Him. Not only that, I read Job and I see Job saying, "The arrows of the Almighty are within me." He knows that whatever is going on, He knows that every detail of it has first sifted through the sovereign providence of God. Should we receive good from Him and not evil? We've already heard that. And all of this, Job, in the first couple of chapters, sinned not with his lips, nor charged God foolishly, but bowed on his face and worshiped God. That's amazing. And I can see that that's the same God I serve.
Amen.
And he has blessed me.
Amen.
Yes. There's been times when I've walked a valley, more than one. But he's blessed me there too.
Amen.
And if by the grace of God, you can delight in him, even the valley times, our growing times, our healthy times, the brother mentioned just calm and comfort when there should have been no calm nor comfort. But calm and comfort because of delighting in him. Spending time with the one who is altogether perfect. Spending time with the one who has been ridiculed in the New Testament as the friend of sinners. Well, thank the Lord. He's a friend of sinners. Because I qualify. To delight in him is our responsibility. There's a tremendous practical advantage in your life and mine when we find ourselves delighting in him. Because now the battle is not what my flesh wants versus what my brain knows ought to happen. Now the battle is staying close to the Lord, delighting in him. Spending time with him. Rekindling a passion to know him. Count your blessings. And you can't name them one by one. You don't have any clue what they all are. But the ones you can count. Just rehearse in your mind how good God's been. That natural desire for pleasure can be filled in his presence. Delighting in him. Then, I'm not struggling against sin with willpower and grit. I'd be like Joseph, Potiphar's house. Should I do this thing? No! I don't want to do this against my master and my God. No! And the struggle with sin is greatly diminished because it's been replaced with a delight for the Lord, which comes with a desire to honor him. It comes with a desire to want to serve him. Now, I'll warn you. Be prepared. You will be called a legalist for not walking off in this direction or that direction because you've just desired to walk according to the Word of God. Amen. And you've desired to live by the standards given in the book because my delight is in the things of the Lord. And as best that I understand them and as best that I can apply them and by the grace of God as best that I can live them, I just want to live how he's instructed us to live. And there will be those that say he's narrow-minded or he's legalist or whatever. You can chalk that up under light affliction. Paul dealt with a whole lot more and still called it light affliction. To desire to be in his presence so desperately that Paul calls it gain in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. verses 20 at the end through 23. He talks about, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, halfway through verse 20. Now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ. Amen. To die is gain. Amen. But if I live in the flesh, there is fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Being with Christ in His presence. Not just better, far better.
Amen.
Absent from this body, present with the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Yes, it is your responsibility and mine. Yes, there's tremendous advantage, but it will have to be worked at. We will have to take proactive, intentional steps to continuously strive to be in His presence where we find fullness of joy. And then the problem of the heart is a far less problem because the heart is right with God. And the only way any of this is possible for anybody sitting here is for one to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. If you've never been born again, you won't understand what I'm talking about. You won't see what I'm talking about. But if by the grace of God, you see your need, because seeing your real position of being lost and undone before God, if by the grace of God, reach down in mercy and give you faith to trust Him. Believe on Him and strive to live for Him the rest of your days. Strive to put into practice this simple verse, Psalm 37:4, delight thyself in the things, delight thyself also in the Lord. Where do you go? Brother Roland, you come. I about turned it over to Brother Cummins.